Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Fan Morning Show is brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. Jerry Dulac with a story in the Post-Gazette, writing about what he thinks the Steelers are going to do this offseason. Good reporting there from Dulac. We'll react in a moment here. But question for you, Dorn. The Eagles were up two scores, Saquon Barkley smacking himself in the head, then sliding through the snow in the end zone, and I think he pretty much called game. If they had lost the game after that, you think Nick Sirianni is the head coach by noon today?
Probably not.
I don't think so either.
Not the way that they handle things up there.
Nope.
Revolving door. I mean, how many coaches have they been through whenever even coaches were successful? Andy Reid, Doug Peterson, I mean, you could just tell that. And then all the little things that were going on this year, I think with the Eagles, they had no choice but to win. At least Sirianni. I mean, he was arguing with fans at one point. I mean, there was a lot of stuff that they've done this year that were just, it was just, you know, not conducive, I guess. So
yeah
you're right. I think that he'd be on the chopping block.
And that's exactly my point. You know, moments away from the NFC Championship game. 2 years ago, go to the Super Bowl. Last year, bad. Took a step back. Really wilted down the stretch. The defense was terrible. They'd have fired his ass. They're right there. And they'd have fired his ass.
Yep.
The Steelers, decidedly not right there. Oh, hey, you guys want a couple of first-round picks for your head coach? Maybe you could find a quarterback. No, thanks. Not interested. Could we interest you in a slightly used Arthur Smith? You could interview him. Take Arthur Smith off our hands, but you can't talk to our head coach. There's one franchise in PA that is taking winning seriously enough right now, and it's the Philadelphia Eagles. It's not the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Mm-hmm.
Andy Reid, best coach in the history of that organization, fire him. He had a really bad year. Then they fire him. Would not have happened here. He goes off, has a ton of success. Nobody's disputing that. He's one of the best coaches of all time. But Doug Peterson wins them a Super Bowl. Then things don't go so great for him. They fire him. Then Nick Sirianni comes in, and they go to a Super Bowl. That's an organization that cares. That's an organization that's not afraid to fall flat in their pursuit of winning. It's a scared way to operate an organization. They're afraid what it looks like without Mike Tomlin.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
Also, the Eagles make the right moves, too. They know what they need. They go get what they need. They're aggressive. I mean, A.J. Brown. I mean, drafted Jalen Hurts. And, you know, just all the pieces. They know they need good players. And if you can't win with the good players, Chip Kelly, he's another one. Chip Kelly.
He had a 10-win season with Nick Foles.
I mean, they had a bunch of good players. Andy Reid, Doug Peterson. If you can't win with the players that we give you, then we're going to go on to the next guy. So they not only get good players, they also give head coaches a short leash, say, you have to win with this right now or we're moving on.
Yes.
And every time that they've moved on, they've kind of re-upped.
Yep, it's worked out for them.
Yep.
Inarguably. Here's how it would go. If they had lost that game, Sirianni's gone, and then, I don't know, let's say it's Ben Johnson next year. Everyone wants Ben Johnson. He would go there. Why wouldn't you go there?
Mm-hmm.
So let's say it's Ben Johnson, and they lost next year. You know what they're doing? They're looking for another quarterback then.
Yep.
Because they're not just going to keep spinning their tires. Meanwhile, the Steelers are. On to the Dulac reporting. On to the Dulac reporting. There's a lot here, so we can spend a lot of time on this. Dulac's offseason primer. What he's hearing, what he thinks they're going to do. Fields to return as quarterback one. We have no problem with that. When we're talking about spinning wheels, there's not a lot of good options out there. And if the Steelers were to try to trade up for a quarterback in the draft this season, this offseason, there's not a ton of great quarterbacks in the draft either. So you're kind of stuck. It's like Darnold or Kirk Cousins or Russ or Fields. You and I are okay with Fields. You just want to add talent around him and scheme.
Yes.
Around him.
Yes.
So we'll see if they do that second part. Dulac also writes they want a running back with speed. Yes, please.
Does that mean in the draft? I mean, what is about with Jalen Warren? Does that count? Like, what one a running back, two running backs with speed, or just one?
Sounds to me like they're going to spend a second or third round pick on a running back.
So it's going to be a draft pick, yeah. Not somebody that's a free agent, which I don't even know. That I'll look up the free agents while you talk, but
you just can't spend money on running back unless you're right there, I don't think. I mean, look at the Eagles. Look at what the 49ers gave up to get Christian McCaffrey. Look at the Ravens and Derrick Henry. All these really good teams have figured out the last thing we need to address is running back. The Steelers aren't close to being good enough to say, let's go spend money on one in free agency. I don't know who's out there either because I haven't even considered doing that.
Aaron Jones?
Eh. Get me a young guy to pair with Jalen Warren and a guy that could fit this scheme because Najee Harris was not a fit for this scheme. But you... It's not that complicated to me, Doran. Like I just read Ray Fittipaldo put out his top five needs for the Steelers this offseason. And number one's defensive line. I'm sorry. Dulac's been saying that. Fittipaldo now writes that. It's absolutely a need. Don't get me wrong. I think four out of their six defensive linemen on the roster are all 30-plus. That is a hole. Your number one need is guys who score touchdowns. Like,
yes.
Are you a running back that scores touchdowns? Are you a wide receiver that scores touchdowns? Are you a quarterback that throws touchdowns? Are you a tight end that catches touchdowns? You need to score. Period. Oh, great. We can stop the run. Who cares?
If you can't score. What's the point? I'm right with you.
Number one need, touchdowns, please. Love Ray. Respect the hell out of Dulac, but for God's sakes, your number one need's not defensive line. No one's walking away from this weekend going, oh, thank God the Commanders got a good defensive line. Right?
No.
Yes, the Eagles' defensive front is tremendous. I get it. No one's walking away from that Buffalo game going, oh, boy, did you see that defensive line? Oh, that's the key to all the success of the NFL's that defensive line. Yeah, it's important. Offensive line's important. Get me guys that can score damn touchdowns. That was my fear after that Ravens game. The Ravens run for 299.
And then their focus goes right back to defense.
Back on the defense. Want to play our first... let me throw my first guy out there for cut, trade, or keep.
Okay.
We're bouncing all over. Mm-hmm. We got freedom. Minka. Second highest cap hit on the team, $22.3 million. If you cut him... you would save $15.5 million against the salary cap.
Cut.
Damn, why you got to be like that, man?
What?
Because I wanted to cut him.
Yep.
Can I throw a caveat on there?
Yes.
And then you can explain yourself.
Yeah.
Unless you would like to explain first.
I'll just explain real quick.
Yeah.
You know, I think that him moving around, just they can't figure out where they want to put him. And he wasn't effective on the stat sheet this year. And you need somebody back there that could be effective. They just kept him in one position. You could keep anybody back there as a free safety and just play center field. And some of the times whenever he did that, things got by him. So, like, I mean, if you could save $15 million, you could put that to places where we're talking and score points with that $15 million. There you go.
I agree with every syllable and half syllable you just said, as Starkey would say. That's exactly my thought process. If you are married to Terrell Austin and it sounds like he's going to be back for another year, that's something else Dulac wrote. Is that don't expect major coaching changes. If you're planning on utilizing him the same way, that is such a waste of $18 million.
Yes.
That is a disastrous use of that much coin. Because you can get a player that might not play deep safety as well as he does, but for a fraction of the cost, and then you fold that money into the offense. If you're going to keep utilizing him the way that you have now the last 2 years, and you're going to line up 18 yards off the ball, play in, play out, there's absolutely no reason to pay that guy that kind of money. None. Because it didn't even do what they say it does, which is keep a lid on things.
Right.
That's what you're saying.
Yep.
Like, he doesn't take the ball away. Well, okay, at least he's keeping the big plays down, right? No. They give up a ton of big plays, particularly down the stretch. Now, if you would tell me that they want to use him and move him all around and he's their chess piece and sometimes he's going to line up on the tight end on third down and he's going to be up in the face of the tight end, you don't know where he's going to line up. You're going to use him more like Troy, and I'm not saying he is Troy. If you tell me you're going to let him freelance and utilize his talents, I'm willing to go one more year on him. But if he's going to be 18 yards off the ball every single play, I could pay somebody $5 million to do that.
Yes.
Not 15 and a half. We'll keep playing that game with Queen and Pickens and some others. Also, we'll go over more of the Dulac reporting. Caboli is going to be with us from 9 o'clock until 10. We'll get his thoughts on all this. And we'd love yours at 412-928-9370. Text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Texter, biggest dagger to this Steelers season would be Kenny Pickett coming in to replace Hurts next weekend and leading the Eagles to a dub. Can you imagine seeing Pickett hoist the Lombardi as their starting quarterback and shouting out Steelers Nation in his post-game interview? My God.
Oof.
I don't think he would call out Steelers Nation. Wouldn't blame him if he did.
No, he wouldn't, but he'd have that twinkle in his eye, and everybody would know it before.
I also think, Doran, there's a non-0% chance of that happening.
Yeah, like he could definitely play this week.
Yeah.
Like in the Super Bowl, probably not, because Hurts will probably be back because you get that time off. But like, there's a decent percent chance that he plays this week and could win them the game to go to the Super Bowl. That's very realistic.
Now, the Commanders beat Philly before, and it does sound like Hurts is planning on playing. He said, we'll see how the week goes. He did finish the game, said it was painful, though, and he would not say he was playing next week until he was pressed a little bit on that. So pay attention. Let's see where that goes. But I would imagine it's Hurts, but he's not going to be able to play at his highest level. He's not going to be able to protect himself. I mean, he's coming off the concussion. Now he's got the lower body injury. So, again, a non-0% chance that Kenny Pickett plays. And they can beat Washington.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think Washington could beat Philly with Hurts or with Pickett. I also think that Philly could beat Washington with Pickett. Fascinating.
Wow.
Back to some of the stuff that Dulac put out there. The team is high on Corey Trice, and he might be, in their eyes, their answer at CB2. I don't know that I see it. I understand why they drafted him. Probably would have been a third-round pick if not for the knee injury.
Yep.
Now if that's the case, your number two corner is a guy that has been lost for the season in college and in the pros with a knee injury.
Mm-hmm.
So be careful there.
Yep.
I also don't hate it because I'm tired of spending money on defense. I'm tired of it. I think they got enough good players on defense to be good on defense if they tweak some things schematically. Spend the damn money on offense. And if Corey Trice isn't very good, who cares? You're not winning the Super Bowl next year anyhow.
Mm-hmm.
You're just not.
Mm-hmm.
So why pay money for that position? I ain't. And Dulac makes it seem like they won't. He also says Minka is going to be staying in Pittsburgh. So you and I cut it. We cutted him in the last segment. We cut him in the last segment. Now, I threw the caveat out there. If they changed things schematically and actually used him correctly, then I would be willing to eat the contract for one more year or pay him that contract for one more year. But if they plan on using him the same way, you can honestly, are you going to be playing at a much lower level with DeMonte Casey?
No, I don't think so.
I don't think, man.
But so, I see why that they're keeping him. I mean, you know, it's what the Steelers do.
Oh, yeah, it's what the Steelers do.
Yeah, they don't think that these things are the issues. And not saying that Minka's the issue, but, like, you're paying him a lot of money. He's supposed to be regarded as one of the best safeties in the league, and what did he have to show for it this year?
One pick.
Yeah.
So did that big fat guy for the Ravens, who's hilarious looking, by the way. I enjoy watching fat guys run fast.
Yep. They move now. I mean, they're moving. Moving. It may not look like it sometimes, and sometimes it does look like it. Whenever it does look like it, they're really moving.
Jalen
move.
Jalen Carter's not a fat guy, but he's a big guy. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
There's like five people on the planet that can do that. In regards to Minka, this is what Ray Fittipaldo wrote when he played the cut game. The only other time in recent history the Steelers cut a star player with two or more years remaining on his contract was 2014. They released Lamar Woodley with 3 years remaining on his contract. So Ray also writes that the Steelers are going to keep Minka Fitzpatrick. Here's the thing about Lamar Woodley. He was dealing with all kind of hamstring stuff, as much as I recall. Like dealing with some injuries. Then he got fat.
He got real big, yeah.
Yeah. And I don't think they liked the effort there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they wanted him to, you know, not be fat,
mm-hmm.
and he was, and so they had to move on. That guy was a star in the playoffs, though. When him and Harrison were coming off the edges together, dear God.
Yep.
And he had a Von Miller postseason in 08. Multiple sacks in every game. Strip sack of Kurt Warner at the end. If they did a Conn Smythe kind of deal, where it was a playoff MVP instead of Super Bowl MVP, Lamar and Santonio.
Mm-hmm.
Outstanding. All right, would you cut Patrick Queen?
I'd keep him.
Me too.
I'd keep him. Underwhelming for people this mm-hmm. year, but still a staple of what they need to do on defense, I think. He's the ideal linebacker that they've been looking for, the sideline-to-sideline fast linebacker, and I think that next year could be better for him.
It's a ton of money next year at $17 million. $17 million. So he gets a sizable raise year over year. I'm not cutting bait with him after one season, though.
Nope.
I'm not. I would rather cut Minka before I cut that guy. Again, if they're going to keep utilizing them the same way. Something else that Dulac wrote is that Pickens is not going to see a second contract. We're not surprised by that. And then whether or not they keep him in the next year, it's going to have to do with whether or not they can get a guy in free agency. But the best thing, if you're looking for something, anything to get excited about, Steelers fans, it sounds like they're going to be big game hunting at wide receiver this offseason.
As they should.
Which means you're going to have T. Higgins get rumored. You're going to get Tyreek Hill. There's going to be rumors. It's going to be the Ayuk thing all over again, but with like five or six guys.
Yes.
Sign me up for it, baby.
Yes. Devontae Adams saying he wants to play for Tomlin.
Yes.
There's some other free agents. It's not great either.
No, it's
free
not.
Agent pool.
I would imagine the guy like Deebo Samuel could get cut loose. Like, I think DK Metcalf, who we've liked for a long time as a fit for the Steelers, he could be somebody that is out there. So there are going to be options. Why would one of those guys want to come here, though? Now, Devontae Adams says he'd like to play for Tomlin. Maybe all those guys feel that way, but do you want to catch footballs and score touchdowns? It's probably not the place to be.
It's not the place, right?
No.
Especially if you don't know what they're doing at quarterback.
Yeah, the first thing that has to happen is Justin Fields.
Yep.
Larry Ogunjobi cut?
Yes.
Yeah. Boy, what a disappointment he wound up being.
This injured. A lot.
Absolutely. That's why they were able to get him in the first place. The Bears had a deal worked out for him, didn't pass the physical for a lot more money than the Steelers paid him.
Right.
Yeah. And then he barely practiced.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he wasn't even practicing, this guy. Cole Holcomb cut, unfortunately.
Yep.
And then, I mean, if you get him real cheap to come back, I don't mind that. See what it's like. I mean, have him as a depth linebacker. Preston Smith, boy, he didn't do nothing. Cut him. Cordarrelle Patterson, cut him. Then he wrote Dean Lowry and Montrevious Adams. See ya.
See ya.
Goodbye. Russ Wilson, he wrote, let him walk. Yep.
Najee, gone.
Definitely gone. What do you make of Najee's career as a Steeler?
I think, well, it's kind of hard because of what James Conner did whenever he was here and what he's doing now. So, it's like, I mean, if they would have kept James Conner, like, well, would James Conner be better than Najee these last couple of years? If they used him right, maybe. I don't know. So I guess all in all, it's kind of tough. Like, he eclipsed 1,000 yards every season, but what did he have to show for it? And it wasn't like a Saquon Barkley, like 1,000 yards. It was
no.
Just like, all right, here and there, we're going to, you know, I don't know.
He
like,
was a compiler.
Yeah, it's kind of just meh to me.
I think that's where I come down. That's a perfect word for Najee's.
Like, I couldn't even figure it out right now talking, so I was just like, here's the word meh.
It's meh.
Yeah.
It's meh. You look at the last 4 years for James Conner, averaged 4.3 yards per attempt. And by the way, in Pittsburgh, or excuse me, he averaged 4.4 in Arizona, 4.3 in Pittsburgh. Najee Harris in his career is 3.9 yards per carry. James Conner, 15 touchdowns, 7 touchdowns, 7 touchdowns, 8 touchdowns in Arizona. Najee Harris, 7, 7, 8, 6. James Conner, the better player.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't mind them moving on because the problem with James was the health.
Yeah.
And actually, 15 games in Arizona, 13, 13, and 16, I would not have bet on that. And the problem was, a lot of times he left games early too. So you have this whole game plan set up for James Conner, and then he's not there. And you're going to then, like, what, Jalen Samuels or Kareth White?
Yes.
So I don't blame them for moving on, but James Conner's a better running back than Najee Harris. When he was on the field in Pittsburgh, he was a better player than Najee Harris. There's no doubt about that for me. And 1,000 yards in 17 games just doesn't do it.
Mm-mm.
He might go someplace else and have a ton of success as a running back by committee guy, and he's your battering ram, and you know he's always going to be on the field for you. And I think Najee's a good player. But he's far from a great player. He did not have a great Pittsburgh career, and they never should have drafted him in the first round to begin with. Couple more of these we'll get to coming up next. Also, we're going to fix college football before the national championship game tonight. We're going to get into a lot of the divisional round stuff and Steelers offseason stuff with Mark Caboli from 9 o'clock until 10. It is 8:32. Time to make the call to the Buell Insurance Agency. Get help with those premiums, 724-443-5610. What's a word you would use to describe Najee Harris's career in Pittsburgh? Dulac writes, doesn't look like the Steelers are going to bring him back. Doran and I agree with that decision. And Doran's word was meh, and I like it so much that I'm stealing it. A lot of people writing in mid. Another guy writes in durable, which I'm happy that someone writes that. I mean, that guy is tough.
Yeah.
And Najee was mostly always available. I will never question that guy's toughness. And the state of the Steelers, the philosophy, didn't help Najee either when you're running almost every single first down and you're running into stacked boxes all the time. But I will add, Jaylen Warren has a career yards per carry of 4.8. Najee Harris is 3.9, and he's running behind the same offensive line. 412-928-9370. You can also tweet us. Brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. We're bouncing around a whole bunch of different things today. National championship game is tonight for college football. Ohio State against Notre Dame. Did you know that? Because there's been zero buzz.
Totally forgot.
Zero buzz,
it's like
dude.
Zero. Like, I haven't seen press conferences. I haven't seen. I mean, I don't know why that there's zero buzz. Maybe people think because it's a runaway for Ohio State. Maybe they think that Ohio State is that much better than Notre Dame. And
That's probably
buzz.
Part of it. I also think playing it on January 20th, what are we doing?
Yeah.
What are we doing?
Yeah.
Some people were arguing play it on Saturday. No, you're not doing that against the divisional round of the playoffs. That's idiotic, but they could have easily played the game on Friday night.
Yeah, Friday before the divisional rounds every year.
Yes.
Why not?
Get the weekend of single elimination football started off with the national championship
game. Yes, yes. Kind of like last week. You got the weekend started off with the semis.
Yeah, you get the ball rolling. You get everyone geeked up.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody cares.
No. I could care less about this game tonight. I might not even actually watch
it. Oh, you're watching it. Get out of here.
I might watch it just because of this, because of our job, but like I could care less.
If you're not going to watch it, you should watch Severance. I've started watching that.
Yeah, you said it's pretty good. It's weird.
I hate it.
I thought you said you liked it. Oh, okay.
I hate it. It's awesome. My skin is crawling the entire time. You should check it out if you're into that kind of thing.
I might.
I mean, if Ohio State does what I think Ohio State's going to do, I'm going to turn the damn thing off at halftime. But you play it on a Friday, people ain't needing to go to bed, right? I mean, you're going to watch the second half. You're going to drink some beers. You're going to stay up late. You're going to sleep in the next day. It makes all the sense in the world to play it on Friday. Or, you know, play it earlier in January, too. And it's been kicked around about, I don't know that there's any actual merit to this like happening, but some talking heads have said get Army Navy off its own Saturday.
Yes.
Okay, so Army Navy just gets to have their own Saturday because we always have. Okay, if you want that, you and I kick this around. How about move it to the first game of the season?
Kick off the college football season with Army Navy.
Week zero, Army Navy. Get people that taste of college football. Let them have the whole weekend to themselves.
Yep.
And then you could play a playoff game. Playoff games that weekend.
Yes.
But what that January 20th.
I mean, I totally forgot that college football is really even still around.
And it's been a week and a half.
It's
and if it's the Super Bowl, yeah, you can have the week in between. It's the damn Super Bowl. But college football has become really regionalized. You need to get people as excited as possible. You can't wait until a week and a half after the last games. You can't have it, you know, the Monday of conference championship weekend of the NFL. It's stupid.
It makes no sense.
It makes no sense.
But you think Ohio State's going to win?
Yeah, do you?
Yeah. Yep. I don't think Notre Dame has enough to keep up. Notre Dame's a good football team this year, clearly. But I don't think they have enough to keep up.
I will say that I agree with everything you just said. I think this being the national championship, they're already talking about tweaks. Already talking about tweaks. It worked. Like, everyone left Notre Dame for dead when they lost to Northern Illinois. Is that who they lost to? Mm-hmm. They might not have been given a seat at the table just based on that loss in the way that we used to do it. Certainly in the AP day and definitely in the BCS, you ain't a top two team. Probably not top four team when you lose to that club. And Ohio State, they wouldn't have made the tournament after losing to Michigan. Michigan and Oregon not playing in the Big Ten championship game. So you have two schools that I think you can argue would not have been in the thing now playing for the national championship. The seventh and eighth seeded teams. So at least you got that. Tony and Butler, hi.
Hey, how you doing?
Great.
Hey, I wanted to talk about the state of our roster and how it's constructed.
Okay.
In order to beat the teams in our division and in our conference, Buffalo, Baltimore, Kansas City, Cincinnati, those four teams are built to score 30 points a game. Our offense is a joke compared to those teams. We don't have a better running back than those teams. We don't have a better offensive line than those teams. We don't have better wide receivers than those teams, and we certainly don't have a better quarterback or an answer for any of those four guys. They need to take a look at our wide receiver core. It's junior varsity compared to those teams.
No doubt, Tony. It's what we've been talking about really all season long.
Yes.
And at least for the last month and a half now, because the Steelers haven't won a game since the, what, first week of December? Other than that, Mrs. Lincoln, how was the play? I mean, seriously, offensive line not good enough, wide receivers not good enough, running back not explosive enough, quarterback, I mean, he was fine until he wasn't. You are behind at every single offensive position.
Yes.
So if they spend a penny on defense this offseason, I mean, that
you know that they're going to, though.
I do, because they gave up 299 rushing yards. That's where I thought he was going to go, by the way. I thought he was going to talk about beefing up the defense. Like, you already spent $130 million on defense. You realize they can't win. You cannot win that way. It does not work. Mm-mm. You're not allowed to play defense the way that you used to be able to play defense. So why would you pour money and resources into it? Case in point, I thought Houston's defense was awesome.
They are really good.
But you're not allowed to touch the quarterback. So what's the damn point?
That quarterback.
That's correct.
Bad quarterback.
You're allowed to ragdoll Lamar Jackson out of bounds. You're allowed to hit him late and with a hip drop out of bounds. All at one time. 412-928-9370. We're going to get another primer of the Steelers offseason with Mark Caboli for the next hour from 9 o'clock until 10. I want to run something past you coming up next. Patrick Mahomes' greatness and the competition that he faces. 50-minute mark on the fan brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Route 19 in Peters Township. Mark Caboli, who's lumbering around the hallways here. He's going to be joining us in 10 minutes. Is that a bad descriptor there?
No, I think it's a good description.
Lumbering.
Description.
He always looks like he's in pain. And yeah. I think it's because he is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nope. He's looking in here now. He heard us talking.
He probably heard that, yeah. So Mark Caboli with us in 10 minutes. What should the Steelers do this offseason? What's he hearing about what they're going to do this offseason? But a question for you I saw being tossed around on social media, Dorn. Patrick Mahomes' greatness v. Tom Brady's greatness. Who had to deal with the better competition?
Wow.
Because you got Josh Allen walking up in your trap this weekend.
Right.
But you also beat him all the time.
Lamar Jackson.
But you beat him all the time.
Right.
And maybe that shouldn't be how I view it. Because maybe, is Lamar better than Peyton Manning? I don't know. Is Josh Allen better than Ben?
I mean, win-wise, no.
And these guys' careers aren't finished yet. I mean, we don't know what Lamar's going to win. We don't know what Josh Allen's going to win. We don't know what that looks like for them at the end of the day. Like, for Ovechkin, it was always, you can't win the big one, and then he won one. And they've got a good shot to do it this year. So, a career story is never written until the end.
All I know is this.
Here it comes.
You know who got in the Patrick Mahomes' way?
Tom Brady.
Yep. That's all I know. And that's all I will, like, they can.
Twice. Beat him in the AFC Championship where he hit Gronk, three times on third down in overtime, and then they beat him in the Super Bowl.
Yep. That's all I know. So, I don't know about the whole tougher competition because Tom usually won as well, but.
I look at Allen and Lamar and Burrow, and they're all great players, and Allen's going to win an MVP at some point. Lamar's won too. Joe Burrow says he's going to win an MVP at some point. They're great players. But Brady had to deal with a league with Ben, Peyton Manning, Eli Manning, Drew Brees, Philip Rivers, Aaron Rodgers. I mean, the league had, I think, more depth at quarterback than it does now.
Mm-hmm.
And he still went to the AFC Championship, what was it, 8 years in a row, yep. And they won 6 Super Bowls. I think that what Tom did was more impressive.
Yes.
Even now, but this—
If the Chiefs win this year.
So that's what we're getting to here, right? Like, if they win it again, they'll be the first team to ever win 3. And then I think you have yourself a good conversation.
Yes.
But when I look at the quarterbacks that were all over the league when Brady played, and he played for so long. I mean, there's some guys overlapping, whatever. I mean, Peyton Manning's a top 5 quarterback of all time.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think any of these 3 are right now or will be viewed that way. You know, Rodgers won multiple 3 MVPs. Lamar could win 3 MVPs. I think Brady had to deal with a better league.
Yes.
And
a tougher league.
Tougher, too, because not only did you have all those quarterbacks, but you were also allowed to beat the hell out of quarterbacks up until a point.
Tougher league. Different game of football.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, people said that Tom Brady was a whiner, but he was actually getting hit, and they weren't throwing flags. He was whining because he was getting hit, and they weren't throwing flags.
And then like, his knee exploded, and all of a sudden they started throwing flags.
Like, yeah. So, like, it's a different brand of football than it is now. I think that, Tom Brady had it tougher. For sure.
Does he have to Mahomes pass Brady in rings for you to say he's the GOAT?
Yes.
Okay.
So there's no doubt.
3 in a row doesn't do it for you?
No.
Okay.
And the fact that he lost to Brady.
Yeah.
That's where I'm at.
That's a tough one.
Unless he passes him with rings, you lost mano a mano and Brady was 40 years old.
It's like
41.
It's like if Jordan had beat LeBron in an NBA Finals.
That's exactly what it is.
Yeah. The ultimate tiebreaker.
It's exactly what it is.
And it's not like, he did it too out of the shadow of Belichick in the Super Bowl.
That as well.
Yeah.
Different team.
So you got all your Mahominess and you got all your Andy Reidness all together, and I'm just going to do it with Bruce Arians.
Mm-hmm.
All due respect.
Yep.